Hi, I'm Laura.
Hey, I'm Stefan, and you're listening to Attributed, a podcast library by DreamData.
The purpose of it is to store and share all the knowledge that we have gathered across DreamData employees through our LinkedIn Lives, podcasts, and webinars.
The typical topics you'll find here can be stuff like marketing,
sales,
B2B ads,
operations,
social selling maybe.
Hey, Kate. Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm very good. Long time no seen. The last time we met was in Boston, and I'm still expecting you in Copenhagen. I don't know how that is going to play out.
I need to get the ticket, but I'm on my way.
That's good. Otherwise, see each other in Boston again. All right. We're kicking this off. Today, we're going to talk about in-person events, and we already referenced to it. Kate and I, we met at Inbound. And a lot of people are going to events. Face-to-face events are getting back. Everybody wants to see each other, touch each other, or at least feel each other as a person. And who is a better person to talk about that than Kate from Splash? Kate, can you give a quick introduction to yourself for everybody?
Yeah, so I am a lifelong marketer, career-long marketer. I started in events. My first job was at the U.S. Golf Association, so I was doing the big U.S. Open, Women's Open, Senior Open, working on that from like a legal operational perspective, and I was like, this is fun. I love this. I was a college athlete, so the excitement of an event felt like game day, felt like, you know, kind of time to perform, and I got hooked very early on. So I made my way from sports marketing into the technology industry, started working for an event registration platform named Cvent. So some people might be familiar, but I was with Cvent very early days from pre-revenue through their first IPO. So incredible journey of, you know, platform expansion. There was so much going on in marketing during that time, kind of the dawn of social media, the dawn of digital advertising, trying to figure out how all these things, you know, could really accelerate our marketing mix. And I led the, you know, field marketing team. We didn't call it field marketing back then, but, you know, that was one of my functions, as well as product marketing and PR and comms and social media and all these fun things. So I was able to made my way into healthcare, really enjoyed that. Events are so critical in that particular industry. And I can, you know, talk more about that. But, and then really missed marketing to marketers. The Splash opportunity came up. And after 8 years in healthcare, I decided to, you know, make a switch back into MarTech and be happier. It's really fun to be back with my people. So,
selling to the people you actually understand and the problems you're solving, you have tried to have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think as marketers, we need to kind of eat, sleep, breathe your ICP. And it helps to be one of those people. It helps in the eat, sleep, breathe motion, but, you know, to really kind of understand and then just have that, you know, that natural camaraderie and the community effect. And it's been really nice for me to, you know, be in this role and be back.
That's really cool. And now you're mentioning you're back selling to marketers, but not even selling, just working with them. What does Splash do?
So we are an event marketing platform. So we have registration, ways of promoting your event going beyond just a website and a Splash page, be able to help you amplify your brand, do that in such a way that the touch points to your buyer or your stakeholder, your customer, whomever you're trying to, you know, reach through this event, is a cohesive, beautiful journey where they start to build trust from the moment you reach out by this really cohesive, natural, both digital and kind of human touch journey that you create with your event. So we amplify the brand. We help also measure the results. So being kind of a system of record and have, you know, the Splash platform capturing everything about, you know, your guests, everything about the event, being able to, you know, rinse and repeat, being able to do that again and again, because you've created this hub and this way of, you know, kind of scaling what you're doing and being able to understand that and measure that. I think one of the big gaps in our industry is that, you know, measurement of the event channel has been sort of last to be optimized as marketers. And that's where Splash really shines. So being able to, you know, measure results, grow your business ultimately. And our specialty is really like simplifying from, you know, a design perspective and to make a self-sufficient marketer in doing field events myself, up to the tune of like 2,000 events globally. Yeah. When you have like a clunky, you know, a clunky technology, or even worse, kind of an in-house, you know, homegrown solution, you know, Excel sheets and Google Sheets and, you know, manual processes, it slows everything down and really, you know, sticks that, you know, that event person or that marketer in a very, you know, tactical slog, as yeah. opposed to a strategic, you know, strategic kind of supervisor role. And, you know, ultimately we all as marketers kind of want to get to that point where, you know, we've automated those processes and we've simplified, you know, what is a complex process, so that we can run it again and again after we know it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to dig a little bit more into that operational and ROI piece. But what the first thing that pops in my mind when you talk about Splash is, like, every time I go to an event and it has a very bad app for participants, you can't figure out how you connect with people or where is your agenda, how do I send it to my email and stuff, I think about you guys. Like, come on. There's like, why can't you just do like them? Mm-hmm. It's not that difficult. And that goes both ways. So now you spoke about the internal part that you have your sheets, you try to figure out the ROI and so on, but figure out the other part as well from the organizers piece and also from the people who are running their booths and so on. There's so much of that experience of the attendees of the events that comes into this, like, how does the website look like? How did I register and so on? That ROI goes beyond just who came, did they buy ever after that again, but also did they rebuy? And mm-hmm. it's like, what's up? So how do you feel about that, all the user experience? What can we do about this?
Oh my gosh, I feel so many different ways about user experience. I mean, you nailed it. And this is why I think people struggle in the selection of, you know, event tech, because, you know, you might see it from an organizer's point of view. You might see it from, you know, attendee point of view. And both are mission critical, because ultimately they impact your stakeholders. Ultimately it impacts, you know, if it's really hard for the organizer, it's going to be hard for the attendee to have like the optimized experience that you want to deliver. But today's market and today's buyer, I mean, especially in a world where, you know, ABM is a real focus, our buyers, our stakeholders anticipate a really customized, personalized, beautiful experience. And when I talk to my team about it, I mean, we've all probably fallen into like the Instagram shopping trap where you've purchased something and the buying experience gets a little shady and you get a weird email and it's not the same brand. And you think, oh gosh, who did I just send my credit card data to? And like, if you take that personal experience and then you apply it to our event world, like if you don't have your brand on display at all those different touch points, there's a mistrust that kind of grows. Like, do they have their stuff together? Are they the right partner? Why is this so clunky and, you know, difficult for me as an attendee to, you know, just enter information that you're asking me, make it easy for me, optimize that experience. And I think from a brand marketing perspective, I've done a lot of research where if you have a misstep with your brand, I mean, that can impact your pipeline and the buying journey on a level that, you know, one time, one misstep could impact your buyer to really just, you know, drop the relationship and move on to, you know, look at another platform or partner with somebody else. So we really, as marketers, need to take that, you know, brand experience to heart, to the core. I mean, now there's so much noise and the, you know, industry pundits, the Forresters, Gartners, it's taking about 30 touch points in many ways. I think you reported recently like 30, 31, and that's just what we can measure. You know, that's, and so every single time that happens, and events have a great, you know, opportunity to impact in a both like positive and negative way if you don't have the right experience.
Do you have a story to share of a good example of where the brand and the whole experience went hand in hand and event was really nicely executed for some reasons?
Yeah, I mean, we have some incredible customers doing, you know, this kind of hand-in-hand experience at like Con in particular. I mean, I feel like that's a very experiential, customized, personalized effort. We have a great, I think a great like showcase case study with TikTok. They've been able to kind of grow their creator platform through Splash and, you know, lead with kind of the customers to them. And in this case, this business segment that we work with is working on creators. And so, you know, creators can go anywhere. They can select a platform and they could, you know, but if you're optimizing their experience both on your platform through your education, you know, through your entertainment and education, through events, and making sure that, you know, that's an experience that, you know, TikTok has a thought that, you know, a splash page is like a welcome mat. And, you know, even if someone doesn't come to their event, it's a beautiful welcome mat in front of, you know, an incredible party that you want to get into. Yeah. So it kicks off this experience that's very customized, very personalized. And we have a lot of sophisticated clients doing some incredible work, some that I'm not even able to share kind of the details given the, you know, the enterprises that we serve. But TikTok's a really fun case study. We just did a podcast too with Nina, who kind of runs the show.
Oh, over there. Listen to that. That's a lot of fun. And now you're mentioning cool events, and TikTok is so online only. Mm-hmm. Was it anyhow integrated with the actual physical event, or was it only online?
It was integrated with the physical event, yes. So that would be same thing. OpenAI used Splash for their developer day. So incredible announcements coming out last week around ChatGPT and all the, you know, premium usage. Yeah. And so they had, you know, used Splash across many different ways. Get your swag, get into the event, you know, watch the event online, flip that to on demand so other people can, you know, take in the information, and that turns into, you know, a marketing motion in and of itself. So there are many ways to, you know, utilize your digital footprint with events and make it, you know, not just, you know, the moment in time that you're having that physical event or that moment in time that you're having that webinar. If you're doing that, there's so much more for you. I would say like 75% more opportunity, you know, from that just like single event to be able to turn your content, turn the experience into more.
Exactly. So Andrew had exactly this question. So any trends or technologies related to those hybrid events? And that seemed to get popular in 2020, well, but never heard of it well executed. So talk us through a little bit about that hybrid part. You already touched upon it a little bit.
Yeah, so I think my take on hybrid events, and I know some other event folks share this, hybrid events have been around for a long time since, you know, sports started broadcasting. You have an event, you know, that people are experiencing. And then, you know, the rest of us at home are, you know, warm in our seats and experiencing an event from a different place. So there's been, you know, in 2020, the big push was how do we define hybrid, and hybrid being, you know, a new experience. And I think it's hybrid is really, you know, it's certainly here to stay when it fits your strategy and it's the right experience for your stakeholders. I actually see it done quite well, hybrid events that are done for remote-based companies. So there will be, you know, an event, let's say, for a company in London, and then in the global offices, there will be in-person parties, in-person experiences where, you know, the town call is streamed. We actually just did that for at Splash. We had our monthly, you know, town call, and a bunch of us were in New York. So we got together and, you know, had an in-office experience, which was so fun because we're a remote-based company as well. So we see that working really well for internal events. Not that you can't do it for, you know, for commercial kind of, you know, buying opportunities, but I think that ability to really, you know, create community, camaraderie, that in-person power of events in hybrid is done really well for internal events. And I would say, you know, I'm seeing more of our customers doing that. And we also followed suit with our town calls as well.
That's really cool. And Kit is asking a question about playbooks and ROIs. So he's asking for an actual playbook to see what to follow when sponsoring a physical technology event as a demand gen activity. But if you could walk that through with us, and if there are any references, of course, welcome. And Kate, I think you should also connect with Kate.
Absolutely. Later today, if you hit the Splash website, we are doing a Mastering Event-Led Growth Playbook session. So there'll be a workshop there where we are going through the planning, the budgeting, pre and post event, answering questions. And this is actually going to be a real kind of content push for us in the coming year and giving more artifacts. We put out an ROI calculator, which are feedback from our customers and our community. We have a Slack community for just, you know, event practitioners. You don't have to use Splash. We just, you know, it's a way for us to share and grow together. So joining our community or, you know, our event later today, we'll, you know, kind of dive deeper because playbooks are great and it's awesome to have a template. We all want to kind of start from there, but it has to be, you know, it has to be made your own. So that's some of the work that we will bring people through today in our webinar, how to, you know, analyze your strategy to figure out like what makes sense for if you want to have an event-led growth motion. How are you thinking about it from, you know, your customer lifecycle flywheel? Or how are you thinking about it from your pipeline, from top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel? There are ways that we've found have for our playbook have, you know, optimized our ROI and made events really explosive for our own pipeline and serving different purposes, obviously, for our customers. I want to help them optimize, you know, their product usage. I want to help them, you know, from a partnership perspective. I want them to, you know, feel like we are, you know, linked arm in arm, you know, with them and giving them tons of value to be better at their role. And, you know, so that journey is different. I wouldn't be talking to folks who, you know, are just brand aware of Splash about, you know, the nuances of the Splash platform. We're just getting to know each other and talking about, you know, talking shop about event marketing and that type of work. And hopefully in that conversation and in, you know, these workshops and with this understanding, not only is the takeaway, Splash deeply understands my role and how I could be better at my job, maybe I should take a look at their platform and, and kind of go on that journey. But it has to be different for the company. I know when I was in healthcare and that playbook that we made, you know, our event-led growth was really driven less so by our company and more by the community. So we would, you know, kind of go to an anchor, in this case, physician, who had community, who had connection. My boss always liked to say gravitas in the community. And then we'd work, you know, with them to kind of expand from, you know, from an event perspective and worked on that kind of like host opportunity. That might be, you know, a part of somebody's playbook that's very different from, you know, a SaaS playbook. So you want to make sure that you kind of get in the weeds and start to understand your buyer, apply that to your strategy, and then map the event-led growth onto it.
Yeah, there are so many things that are need to be considered for demand gen, really, because events is not just like an event. I'm either going to it, hosting it, having a booth, like what's your strategy out of it all? There are so many unknowns, and really it depends on which stage the company is, how much money have you got to do this? Because that really applies to us. So for us, usually hosting an event is like, okay, let's figure out what's cheap as possible and like mostly enlightening and exciting people to do. Or at some companies as well, then it has to be so well planned and strong all the way through. And also, where do you want to engage your people in the pipeline?
Yeah, exactly. And we were speaking with our customer, Emily Wilkes from Gainsight, and she was talking about, you know, generating $10 million in revenue off of one event program. And, you know, her event programs would include, you know, incredible experiences like taking people to a box at the Eras Tour. And then another experience was called, you know, the Chef's Kiss program. So it was exquisite food, you know, a hand selected, you know, group on the guest list and attendees, really bespoke work that's generating, you know, great opportunity for, you know, for their company. And I think you need to, of course, marry what is your marketing structure in Frankenstein? Because we all have some type, we have different skills, different budgets, different customers. Some, you know, aren't able to get to an event at certain times. You know, again, like going back to my healthcare days, you know, it was not an option to do like a breakfast or a lunch event. However, other companies I work for, that was our bread and butter. Let's do, you know, kind of product seminars globally and get in front of our, you know, our ICP and treat them to a beautiful lunch and go from there. So you really have to think about, you know, all of those layers. And that's, you know, more than just budgeting. And there are ways to delight people that don't involve, you know, a heavy cost. Certainly events cost more. When you look at the results that you can generate through a scaled program versus the money that marketers are just pouring into, let's say, like digital advertising, we're all reading and experiencing ourselves, you know, the decline of ROI in, you know, our digital ads, at least many, many folks in my circle. But, you know, the hundreds of thousands of dollars getting, you know, pumped into that, regardless of outcome, you know, is interesting. And people hesitate from an events perspective. But I think if you're able to, you know, get creative, marry the art and science of marketing, I mean, that should be our bread and butter as marketers. You know, we're creative and we're dealing with the ROI and the science behind these programs and the numbers that come out of these programs and these outcomes, and making sure that, you know, you're being responsible, you're being fiscally responsible, but you're activating those partners. You're thinking about what your community wants. You're meeting them where they are. And to be honest, a lot of people don't want a ton of frills. They want to connect with their, you know, fellow community. They want to make it worth their while. They want to know that if they go to a dinner and get a babysitter, or, you know, rush back from the office and hit traffic, that, you know, they don't always need, like, you know, the Michelin star meal. That is really nice and always appreciated, of course. But I think the thoughtful nature of, you know, the people that you're bringing together, how you're pairing and matching your community and making it a valuable bespoke experience, that like personalization of, I'm going to an event with other SaaS leaders, or I'm going to an event with other, you know, people who are doing the same, you know, types of work that I am. And so I'm getting tips and tricks and ideas and, you know, partnerships and coming out of this like really fruitful experience. I would rather have that and be able to really be, you know, better at my job in many different ways than have a nice meal. I can go out with my family and friends and treat myself to a nice meal. I really want a company that I'm working with or a community to help bring you to a better place. So
yes, there are then two parts of this coin as well, because what we're talking about, planning and ROI of the company arranging the event, but they're also the attendees who are coming there expecting some kind of an ROI, because you're either paying for the event or you're paying with your time and all the communication out there as well. And Leah had a question that is very on the other side of, as a person, to get the best, the ROI of the event, you're using your time. So how do you help your clients to get the audience to network either with each other or with the speakers? What are the best practices that people usually do when going to events?
Yeah, so this, we are obsessed with this type of like networking and connection. And it starts at, you know, kind of the original curation of your list, who you're promoting to, the purpose of the event, making sure that you're really aligned around that. This is obviously critical for ABM and critical for any type of marketing. So we make sure that, you know, from our perspective, when we're doing, let's say, our Magic Spark dinners, or we're working with customers who are, you know, in particular doing any like bottom of funnel, mid funnel to bottom of funnel to customer event, using, you know, our tool to ultimately, you know, curate a really strong guest list. Doing promotion, obviously, it's not easy to get, you know, people in the room. You want to fill the room, obviously, with, you know, with the right people. So it's a careful balance. We use our waitlist feature to have people register, and then we let people in, you know, one by one to say, okay, this person is going to be able to connect with this person, and this, and we curate that based on the data that we have and that we've been collecting and that we understand about, you know, the people who are signing up, and then curating that room effectively to make sure that it's going to be worth their while. It's really hard to, you know, have a lone B2C person in a sea of B2B marketers. We always learn from each other, and, you know, we're not necessarily like, you can't sit with us, don't come. but we're trying to make sure that we have like some B2C minds in there and make sure that they can come away with, just as I explained before, you know, some value, some networking, some partnerships, and some real like tactical frameworks from, you know, from that discussion. So the curation of that audience starts, you know, in the beginning when you're, you know, getting data to do your original promotion, all the way down to, you know, kind of a waitlist feature, which is how we operate.
I love that, because it's all thought through from the very beginning, thinking about who's running the event, but also the people who are attending. Mm-hmm. That's invaluable. And before we finish off, Kate, what are the usual mistakes or complications that demand marketers usually, or event marketers, do when planning their events nowadays?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The mistake, you know, my career of mistakes. I mean, events, I feel like not anticipating external factors are sometimes the commonplace mistakes of people who haven't run events. Yeah. Need to be thinking about, you know, holidays, traffic, you know, weather, all these things can impact, you know, your event. But I think, you know, being able to, you know, navigate the details and, you know, make sure that you're trying to check off as many boxes as you can and having contingency plans, especially with in-person events.
Yeah.
We have, you know, incredible discussions with our customers. We've all run events for years and years and years. And for those of us seasoned, the, you know, change is the only constant. So being able to, you know, think on your feet, have contingency plans, you know, especially with like larger events, your speaker cancels, there's a hurricane, a hotel shuts down. I mean, you name it, I have seen it or experienced it myself. So I think making sure that you're kind of thinking through, you know, all the logistics, and then, you know, so that's kind of a 101, but I think the biggest mistake with events is really not providing like value through the content and realizing like the opportunity cost of your attendee.
Yeah.
And I think most people get bogged down in the logistics of events, mm-hmm. and are unable to scale and kind of, you know, in my view, put in technology to automate their process and get them thinking about the most important thing, which is, you know, what purpose are you delivering and how are you delivering on that promise of value for your attendee, and making sure that when they come, and they'll come back if you're delivering that value, that you're giving them what they need, which is, you know, value for their time and a customized, personalized experience that they can be better for being a part of it. And I think that's probably the biggest fall down for events in my view.
And that can be so easy to go slip into that one. It's like, oh, we're doing this, this is cool, but what are we giving back to people who are paying with their time or their money for this? Mm-hmm. Love this. Alrighty, Kate, thank you very much for today.
We hope you like listening to us. Subscribe to our podcast and the ones that we have been guests on.
And if you have any feedback for us, just do let us know. And should there be a guest that you think we should be talking to, then like pitch us.
We're looking forward to seeing you.